versus Paul Elliott Cash, et cetera, edit. Oh, Mr. Lyons?
Yes, Your Honor.
May it please this honorable court. If you please, Your Honors, I'd like to introduce my associates, Mr. Frederick D. Taylor of Suffolk, Virginia, and Mr. Jefferson Vandale Mabrito of Blanco, Texas.
Welcome to the court.
Your Honors, the case on appeal here involves the right of two young ladies to carry their designer Confederate flag purses to Burleson High School in Burleson, Texas, in the face of a reimposed ban by the principal that took place back in January of 2006. Both girls have since graduated or are in college. The younger sister, who later joined the case, is now a senior at Burleson High School. The ban is primarily based on incidents that took
in May. Is that what it is? The younger sister will graduate this May.
Yes, Your Honor.
Did she ever have a purse?
She never had a purse. She did not get one for Christmas. These were Christmas presents.
Does she have standing here?
Yes, because she desired to wear Confederate symbols to school, and in the face of the ban that she found out through what happened to her sisters.
She wasn't going to spend the money on a purse if she couldn't take it.
That's right, Your Honor. She's waiting for relief so she can, I guess she can inherit one of her older sister's purse and bring it to school. The ban is primarily based on incidents that took place almost 3.5 years before, starting in September of 2002. Most of the incidents that were alleged by the school were at athletic events and some other incidents, and most of that took place during the 2002-2003 school year at Burleson High School. There is no contemporary report or documentation for any of the events relied on by the appellees in the record, save for the initial volleyball game incident, which took place in September 2002, and a note found in a disciplinary record in May of 2005 where there was a Confederate battle flag drawn in a notebook with some derogatory language that apparently was caught by the teacher but was apparently not seen by any other students.
I thought there was something about the incidents showing up. The Confederate flag to some children who were black children who were leaving the premises or something like
that. There was a letter. There was a series of affidavits. The record consists of disciplinary records that were provided in discovery.
Oh, this is disciplinary records.
And affidavits that were provided, collected by former principal Richard Crummell after the fact. As a matter of fact, almost all of these affidavits are dated after the lawsuit was filed. And one of these affidavits or letters relates to, and also a report of Crummell himself and his affidavit and Paul Cash, that there were some students that supposedly drove by a school bus full of African-American students with a battle flag in the back of the pickup truck. There's no indication of what disruption, if any, was caused by that. They just state that it happened. So, and that's the nature of the evidence. The race-based incidents, almost none of which involve Confederate symbols, are related well after the fact and certainly could not have been part of Paul Cash's decision-making process, because it's not clear in the record that he even knew about them or knew that they were part of the decision-making process. The ban was apparently imposed by Richard Crummell back in from what I can tell from the records, about 2004. And then things went silent. Nothing happened. There was no incidents. And so almost a year and a half later, the girls wear their purses to school in January of 2006, and then the ban is reimposed. And following up...
you say reimposed. In other words, I thought, was there some ban? I mean, did he made some ban?
Richard Crummell imposed a ban, Your Honor, who was the former principal.
And he did that when? you said?
I think in 2004. The incidents that he's relying on start in September of 2002, and there were incidents going through 2004.
Okay. The principal imposed the ban in 2004.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Okay. And in other words,
and in the record,
he issued some directive or whatever that you're not going to wear clothing showing the Confederate flag or something of that nature.
That's correct, Your Honor. And based on
so they went on and wore it anyway.
Well, I don't think that they knew about it. It was not, like I said, the Deborah Hart, who's the director of student services, said that things died down and things stopped happening. And so I think it was lost in the institutional memory of the school when they told the girls that they could not wear their purses. They told the news media that it related to a volleyball game, and some said a football game and some said a basketball game. Nobody knew what it was. It had been lost in the institutional memory of the school. It was so long ago.
Was there a football game or a basketball game?
Apparently, in September of 2002, there was a volleyball game at the school.
What the volleyball? Was there a basketball or a football game?
There were some other sporting events, supposedly, where African-American students were taunted at about that same time.
But just taunted or flags involved or whatever?
One of the letters indicates that there might have been a flag present, but most of them do not mention the presence of the flag. The one verifiable flag incident is the first one,
volleyball,
where the student at the volleyball game, where the student held the flag 10 feet. He didn't shove it in their face. He wasn't wearing blackface. There's some really bizarre allegations in some of these after the fact recollections or reminiscences, really more accurately is what they are. He apparently didn't realize what was happening, and one of the girls freaked out. It was an all black. The girls, Cedar Hill High School, is predominantly African American. One of the girls apparently got upset and started crying as the team was going in. And the boy was given a 3-day suspension and apologized, and it did cause some problems then. But that was almost 3.5 years before my clients got the Christmas present of the designer Confederate flag purses. And like I said, it was almost lost in the institutional memory of the school. Nobody remembered the incident.
That was the last incident before the ban?
No, Your Honor. There was a series of incidents alleged by the school that took place in the 2002 school year, so through 2003, and they allege events that happened in the next school year. The last thing in the record that I can find is May 2005, which was noted in the school disciplinary records that we received, stating that there was a kid that drew a flag in a notebook, a 3-ring binder, and had some racially derogatory statements.
Well, how does anybody know? I mean, that kind of stuff possibly what?
Well,
if you're not showing that somebody else, what? I used to draw swastikas all the time because I got bored maybe doing things and like to make.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that, Your Honor. Apparently, it's just the school presented a laundry list of things that happened, and in the recollections, there's no way to relate them in the school disciplinary records that were provided. And the school, in 5 years of records, the Confederate flag can be identified in 3 incidents involving discipline at Burlington High School. The first one is the volleyball incident. The second one is the May 2005 notebook gate.
The statement that this was shown to some African American or something like that?
There's no indication in the record. The third is, of course, is the purses themselves. Now, this case is distinct from other Confederate.
Was anybody fussing about the purses?
We allege that there is no disruption caused by the wearing of the purses. Paul Cash stated that there was one student that threatened one of the girls. She hotly denies that and says that basically the girl accosted her in the halls for causing all the embarrassment because of the media feeding frenzy that took place after Paul Cash imposed the ban. I mean, the press went nuts, and they were out at the school, and so there was a lot of things going on. And as a result of that, the post-ban events took place, which the appellees want to encourage the court to use in consideration that it shows a pre-existing reason for the ban. There was the raising of a flag, a homemade Confederate flag on a flagpole on either Martin Luther King or Robert E. Lee's birthday, whichever one you want to think it was. It took place on January 16th, 12 days after the last purse was worn to school. There was very ribald graffiti.
Did anybody fuss about that? What disruption was caused by this flag?
Our clients say that there was very little disruption, and we have an affidavit of a school security officer who was in charge of the parking lot who says that it caused no disruption. There was some graffiti apparently in the bathrooms. Again, there's no indication of the record as to what disruption that caused, if any. It's just
was
there.
Was graffiti in the bathrooms? Is that with the flag on the graffiti or what?
Apparently, we believe, and what I've talked to my clients, is that troublemakers from another school came and raised the flag and did the obscene graffiti out near the flagpole, okay? And then apparently at the same time there was some very obscene and racist graffiti in the men's restrooms, which obviously my clients who are girls had nothing to do with that. They don't hang out in boys' rooms, men's restrooms. So the school is just using that as a laundry list of racial incidents to stampede a decision maker that, you know, it's 1957 in Little Rock, Arkansas, over again here at good old Burleson High School. We just can't have this flag here. And that seems to be their attitude. And they're, of course, emboldened by decisions in other circuits. I have always looked at the Fifth Circuit as really one of the bastions of student free speech. We've got some excellent decisions that protect the students' rights here. And so if this is one place where the students should get a full and fair hearing, I think it's the Fifth Circuit because of the Shanley decision, the Butts decision. You can't use unrelated racial incidents, as has been held now in the Eighth Circuit and possibly the Sixth Circuit, to ban a specific symbol. I think Tinker forbids that, and the very facts in this case militate against that.
In other words, suppose that it just seems relevant for the decision maker that if you do show that the Confederate flag is understood by the students to be a racist symbol, and if you do show that there is racist tension or racial tension, and that, then isn't it relevant that the existence of general racial tension is relevant if there is evidence that the Confederate flag is viewed by students as a derogatory racial statements or something?
Your Honor, I think that the Tinker decision will allow you to do that. If you can relate the tension, the racial tension, to the symbol, to the Confederate flag, then you can do that. Because,
I mean
the focus...
But racial tension...
Well, see, there's other kinds of racial tension.
Let me finish my question.
Yes, sir. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
If there's a lot of oil on the water, you want to be careful about throwing a match in there.
Yes, Your Honor. I agree with that.
And it's true. I suppose it's true whether any match has been thrown in it recently or not. I don't know.
Well, I would say that there's one thing that has been left out in the decision-making process, and that is the motive of the appellants, that they have not done anything to cause the disruption, that they are innocent parties in this, simply desiring to honor their ancestor and carry a neat purse. And that seems to be left out in a lot of the analysis in the other circuits as to the motive and the racial tension. The other thing is that with the laundry list included by these reminiscences posing as letters and affidavits, there's a lot of when you look at the record, you see Mexican kids chastising black African-American kids, white kids calling Japanese-American kids Japos. I mean, you can't include that in racial tension if you're trying to ban the Confederate flag. Now, maybe if you were trying to ban the Imperial Japanese flag, you could do that. So that's why there, really, just common sense, there has to be a nexus.
To ban the Japanese flag?
Pardon me, Your Honor?
Have there been any efforts to ban the Japanese flag?
Not that I'm aware of, not since December 7th, 1941, Your Honor.
How many people would know what a Japanese flag looked like as opposed to a Confederate flag, which has been highly publicized
by all of
our media everywhere in the country?
I guess in California you would probably find more people, or Hawaii, that would know. The Confederate flag is a very recognizable symbol, and it has multiple, obviously it means different things to different people. But
Your time has expired. If you want to save some time for rebuttal.
Yes, Your Honor, I have 5 minutes. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Crawford?
May it please the Court. The District Court was correct in granting Burleson ISD's motion for summary judgment on the plaintiff's First Amendment claims based on the Tinker Standard. As the Court knows, the Tinker Standard really has two components. The first component is the material disruption of school activities or school discipline. And importantly, the courts have been uniform in holding under that standard that the school district does not have to actually wait for disruption to occur. You don't have to actually wait for violence to occur, a fight to occur. What the standard requires instead is that there be a reasonable forecast of disruption. And in fact, quite frankly, the courts have gone even further, and several of the circuit courts have stated that schools, in fact, have a duty to prevent disruption before it occurs. And so if you wait for it to occur first, the cat is out of the bag and the school has not met its duty. And so the fact that in Burleson's case, a full-fledged riot had not broken out due to the Confederate battle flag being used the way it was is not dispositive.
Well, I don't think anybody is arguing. I don't think Council Operates is saying they have to wait for a full-fledged riot.
I think if you read some of the argument from the appellants, that can be implied from their argument. They seem to suggest that the evidence that I'm about to go through with the court that the school district relied on wasn't sufficient because a full-fledged disruption had not already occurred due to the flag. And so I think that from that argument,
you have the burden, don't you?
Yes, Your Honor.
That there's a reasonable basis for Mr. Cash and others' actions.
Yes, Your Honor. It is the school district's burden, and we believe we've met that burden.
It's got to be more, certainly, than the fact that people who see it don't like it. I mean, it's got to be something that it's reasonable to predict actual disruption of the school processes. Not hurt feelings of certain students, or not anger that doesn't manifest itself in a disruptive fashion.
I agree with you, Your Honor, and in fact, that is not the case in this instance. In fact, the school district went out of its way to make sure that they did not take this action merely because of any disagreement or discomfort, but because of an actual reasonable forecast of real disruption. And I agree with Your Honor with the statement that mere disagreement or discomfort does not satisfy the Tinker Standard. However, the second part of the Tinker Standard comes a little bit closer to that, which is that under Tinker, the school district does have the ability to regulate expression that invades on the rights of other students or collides with the rights of other students to be left alone. The Sixth Circuit in the Barr versus LaFawn case and the Tenth Circuit in the West case expressly relied on that part of the Tinker Standard, the rights of other students to be left alone, specifically the rights of black children to attend school free of intimidation and free of discrimination.
I don't know. I've got a lot of trouble with that. If you talk about intimidation, surely if you talk about it, we're going to take you out and beat you up. But if you talk about intimidation, we disagree with your thoughts, and that intimidates us. That's going a little too far.
Correct, Your Honor. In the instance with Burleson ISD, though, the intimidation reached the level of physical threats and physical violence. Let me.
Physical threats and physical violence, there's no question about that. But you, I don't, you've got to show that wearing a piece of clothing threatens physical violence.
Yes, Your Honor. And for example, the record in this case, the summary judgment record, the evidence submitted by both the district and, quite frankly, the plaintiffs in the case, shows that at a basketball game, a fight did break out between blacks and white students.
Right, that was that's what I was thinking about, a basketball game.
Yes, Your Honor. There was, in 2002, there was a volleyball game.
Yeah, but you're talking about the basketball game.
Yes, Your Honor.
When was that?
The date of that, I'm not aware, is in the record specifically. It happened after the volleyball incident with Cedar Hill. The record does not have the exact date, so I cannot tell you that. After that actual physical fight at the basketball game.
Well, did that involve, there was a fight? Tell me about that.
Well, the record doesn't go into detail other than to say that at the lobby of a basketball game, due to the racial tension between the white students at Burleson High School and the African-American students at other schools, a physical altercation broke out in the lobby area of the gym that required the police to actually show up to break it up, and subsequent to that required further increased police presence at other sporting events.
Was there the flag, a Confederate flag, present or involved in?
At many of the sporting events, including football games, it was involved, it was present. I don't know that the record says at this specific instance that it was used.
But these football games, where the flag was involved, what does the record tell us about that?
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
What is the record? You said football games. What does the record tell us about football games and flag?
The record shows that, according to the administrators that were present at the game, the flag was used at numerous football, basketball, softball, and volleyball games since 2002 to intimidate and to harass and to threaten African-American students. And the evidence
from
shows
the opposing team, I guess, or are you talking about the opposing team? What was the mascot of the school? I mean, they weren't like the Rebels or anything of that.
No,
type.
Your Honor, the record's unclear at what the mascot for Burleson High is, but I don't believe it is the Rebels.
Okay, so the flag had nothing to do with the school spirit of their mascot or anything of that type.
That's correct.
It was to intimidate the opposing team's African American students.
Correct, and it rose to a level, in fact, that Burleson ISD was reprimanded at the Interlastic Scholastic League meetings.
Were they reprimanded at the league for having their students display the flag at these sporting events? I'm trying to get.
Yes, Your Honor. Because the flag was being used in an intimidating, threatening manner to increase racial tensions, the UIL reprimanded the school district because it was not comporting itself under the standards that the UIL has set for safety of fans and students, for appropriate behavior, and quite frankly, not intimidating or discriminating against other folks. Importantly, Your Honor, in addition to the sporting events, we had numerous reported instances that are in the summary judgment record of the flag being used at Burleson High School in very intimidating and threatening ways. For example, there was a notebook that they found that had the quote, "no ends," subject to hanging, with a drawing of the flag.
Well, this notebook, I mean, this shown to other students, or was this just some kid scribbling in his own notebook?
The record isn't clear as to what happened as a result of the notebook, but it goes to your discussion.
Oh, but was it displayed to anybody?
The record does not say whether it was or whether it wasn't. The record only says that it happened, it was reported.
Somebody drew this in some notebook sometime.
Correct, Your Honor, in class.
But did anybody else saw it? I mean,
Who saw the notebook at all? I mean, how did it come to light?
The record again is unclear how it came to light, other than it was brought to the administration's attention, it was reported, it was documented, and the student was dealt with. But these incidents go to Judge Garwood's comments earlier, which are the courts have recognized in the Tinker standard in being able to reasonably forecast a substantial disruption that the racial tensions, the past, in the near past, and ongoing, are directly relevant. Because schools, as the court is aware, are unique places. The students are there. They have to be there. We can have arguments on whether there's a true in loco parentis.
Well, you have something other than the notebook after you said there were numerous incidents afterward, after the UIO action.
Yes, Your Honor. Since 2002, Burleson High School has reported, and again, this is reported versus non-reported. Obviously, many things happen, as the evidence shows, during the school day that don't get a formal write-up. But of the reported instances, there have been 35 separate reported race problems, both dealing with the flag and others not dealing with the flag since 2002, which is significant because Burleson High School only has, at the current day, 56 African-American students. So we have 35 racial-based problems in a school of, I believe the school has 2,300 students.
Do we know of these 35 incidences, how many are internal among the Burleson High School students, and how much of it would have been external teasing opposing schools? Was there a racial problem inside the school?
Yes, Your Honor. And my understanding is that the 35 incidents that I'm referring to are separate and apart from the athletic events. For example,
are this 35 incidents since what?
The year 2002, Your Honor.
Okay.
Examples include, again, the notebook we talked about. There were drawings of nooses, KKK symbols, and comments about hanging blacks.
Well, drawings of nooses in KKK, so drawings where?
Well, for example, we have it drawn in graffiti in the restrooms.
Okay.
We have students putting it on their arms. There is an instance of it being on a chalkboard. There is a reported instance in the record where a teacher who was married to a black man returned after miscarrying a baby. And the student, one of her classmates, said that's good because the world doesn't need any more nigglets. And then when she returned to the classroom, she found pictures of the Confederate battle flag and stickers of the flag in her classroom.
Were these?
And that happened, by the way, in the spring of 2004.
They were in the classroom. In other words, if this was told her, she went to the classroom, there was pictures of the Confederate battle flag in her classroom. Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor. And that occurred in the spring of 2004.
Were these incidents, how do we know all this? I mean, were these incidents recorded contemporaneously as they were occurring, and is this a kind of like a business record?
The answer is yes and no. The record, the summary judgment record, and the proof relied on were as follows. We had affidavits from the principal, Paul Cash, from Richard Crummell, the prior principal and a current administrator, and Dr. Jackson, the superintendent of the school. In addition to those affidavits, we also had attached to those affidavits and attached to the plaintiff's evidence a variety of memos and letters written by other administrators, other teachers, that explain these incidents. And so some of it is in the affidavit form, some of it is in the written memo and letter form attached to the affidavits, and they describe these events. Some of the events are described multiple times. You'll find a reference in the affidavit, and you'll find the same reference in a letter earlier written. And so the answer is that there is a combination of, and some of it is actually in the disciplinary records. And so we have it from a variety of sources, but importantly, it's all in the record, and the plaintiffs didn't object to any of it at summary judgment. And so any objections to the admissibility of this or the weight of it is waived. The plaintiffs never submitted competent proof that these events didn't happen. So the record is very clear that the racial tensions and the violence and the use of the flag from 2002 to the present time all happened. And there is not any suggestion or evidence that it didn't happen.
Let me ask you, this ban of wearing the Confederate flag to school, Is that for this Burleson High School, or is that the district?
My understanding, Your Honor, is it's just at Burleson High School. There is no evidence in the record that it applied to others.
But all we know...
The district did have some kind of policy related to this, though, didn't it?
The district has a dress code that says that students are not to wear clothing that will disrupt the educational process or involve problems of safety to other students. Essentially, the Tinker type language, the dress code says that students shouldn't wear. That was the basis for the decision to prohibit it.
Were your clients specifically authorized in some way to impose this ban in this particular school based on their judgment?
The principal, I believe, has been delegated by the board the ability to run the school and discipline in the school within the bounds of the school district's policy.
Well, like, is in this school district, is there just one high school, or how many high schools are there?
I don't know, Your Honor. Burleson is not a big school district, but I don't know if there is another high school or not. I don't think there is, but quite frankly, the record doesn't say one way or the other, so I don't know.
What about, I guess it's got elementary and middle schools, more
That's
than
correct.
One, I presume.
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, like this, is there a restriction in the middle school of wearing the Confederate flag?
I'm not aware there is, Your Honor, and I'm not aware
well,
that it's...
There isn't.
Yeah, I'm not aware there is, but equally, there's been no evidence that it's caused disruption or racial tensions within the middle schools. The evidence that we have in the record talks about it at the high school level.
At Burleson High School.
At Burleson High School, with Burleson High School students.
But it does seem like it's this district policy that actually was what was enforced, or that's not too clear to me.
Well, it's the dress code, Your Honor, and the policy is
well, where is this spin on the dress code or whatever that brings the flag into it?
Again, the administration interpreted, the school administration, the principal and the administration.
Okay, the principal.
Right. Review, along with Mr. Crummell and consulting with the superintendent, looked at the dress code.
Superintendent of the whole school district.
Yes, sir. Looked at the dress code and its policy that prohibited clothing that disrupted school activities, the Tinker standard. And they reviewed the past instances of racial tensions and use of the flag and use of racial epithets and actual physical violence. And they made the determination that the Confederate flag, prominent displays of that, had become disruptive to Burleson High School. And therefore, they prohibited prominent displays of the flag based on the dress code that says materially that clothing that will disrupt school is not to be allowed. The Confederate flag is not per se mentioned in the dress code. The dress code doesn't say we prohibit the flag.
But the principal has said that, or has he?
Yes, based on his reasonable forecast, on his own observations and those reported to him by others, that the flag, in light of the racial tension and unrest at the school, materially and substantially disrupted school activities and school discipline.
And what about stuff like, drawing a picture of the flag on the blackboard or stuff like that? Or is he just limited? He's just got it in the dress deal?
The decision was made based on the dress code, Your Honor. That was the policy that the principal relied on in making that determination. And he has not, and to be clear, Burleson High School has not prohibited controversial symbols. It has only taken the action when those symbols have been used in the way that the Confederate battle flag has been used.
I was a little shocked in one of these cases, and I forget which it was that I read anyway, but the school had said that, you couldn't, I think, have the Confederate flag on your shirt or something. And then it also said they got some guy who said you can't make me take off my shirt. He put that on there, no, without a Confederate flag, but they dinked him for that.
And as I understand, the court said that you could, it was okay to prohibit the flag, but you could not prohibit the message on the shirt.
See, common sense suggested that to me, but I don't remember what the holding is, whether that...
It's kind of almost like the Third Circuit case we cite in our brief. I think the name is Sipniewski. It's a Third Circuit case where the student was wearing a Jeff Foxworthy, you know, you're a redneck if joke shirt. And the school district tried to prohibit that. And the court, in a well-reasoned opinion, went through the racial tensions and hostilities in that school district, in that school, which are very similar to ours, by the way, and found that the district was proper to prohibit the flag, the Confederate battle flag, but that the Jeff Foxworthy shirt wasn't similar enough to the flag for them to be able to prohibit that. And so the school district in that instance was able to prohibit the flag because of the prior history. But the Jeff Foxworthy shirt was not similar enough speech, and so they did not allow that. I see my time is up.
Expired.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Lyons, you have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
May it again please this honorable court. One thing I should have said at the outset, Your Honor, one note that we make is that the district court used the wrong standard in granting summary judgment to begin with. There's really no analysis in the summary judgment order regarding any of the witness except that it's just like it was in the preliminary injunction. And we aver that the court used the wrong standard in granting summary judgment and really did not pay any attention at all to the evidence that was developed in the record. Unlike other cases, there was no depositions in this case. There was a lot of affidavits. Yes, we didn't object to it, to this evidence, because we look forward to destroying it on the witness stand. And
but
of course,
you can't do that. And you didn't have a 56F or whatever motion, you know. Give us some time to get some depositions before you rule on this or something like that.
No, Your Honor. We did not think it was necessary because it's their burden. Their burden is to show that this would cause a substantial and material disruption. And from what we saw, we didn't see a disruption.
No,
we didn't
no,
see
no,
we saw self-serving
their burden. Their burden is to show that they were reasonable in fearing that there would be a good chance that
yes,
this
Your Honor.
Was going to happen.
The reasonable forecast.
They didn't have to be certain.
I agree that with that, Your Honor. But they had to show us more than they did. It was obvious that they were not following the standard that was set out in the Governor Wentworth case, because it seems like all of their decision-making and getting our act together was done after the lawsuit was filed. If the information that had been laid out in a proper administrative forum had been laid out to us when we were going through the administrative process for this case before a lawsuit was filed, it would have been frivolous for the plaintiffs to have filed a lawsuit if they had followed Governor Wentworth or any kind of record keeping that would show, yes, by heavens, there is a reasonable forecast that there will be a disruption here, but that was never shown to the appellants.
How big is the Burleson School District? What is that? Is this just the one high
It's a school? Suburb of Fort Worth.
Yeah, but I mean,
it's not probably stuff. Not very big. They've got several
they
a couple of thousand people.
Or not?
That I don't know, Your Honor.
Okay.
That I don't know. But my point is that if they had done the record-keeping that I think Tinker requires, however much they want to complain and how much that costs the taxpayer of Burleson, of Johnson County, it'd be a lot cheaper than one of these lawsuits coming up here to argue our problems in front of y'all. And so it's just as if we hold these schools to their burden of showing the reasonable forecast, showing that it would cause a substantial material disruption, we wouldn't be up here taking 40 minutes of your time.
Are you making any claim that there's some kind of a discrimination here in the sense of, you know, we're going to allow Black Pride, even though that might cause some disruption, but we ain't going to let anything about the Confederacy in here?
I would be less than honest, Your Honor, if I didn't say that I suspect that there's an institutional bias against Confederate symbols.
I suspect some institutional bias, but have we really tried? Is that in this lawsuit?
No, Your Honor. We did not. I don't believe we made that claim. But a lot of it, the way they stack racial incident on racial incident, even though it's unrelated, I have the record here from 2002 to 2007. And in 2002, 2003, there was 8 instances of disruptive behavior. 1 fight, the volleyball incident, 2 cases of inappropriate language, and 4 nonviolent gang activity, non-racial. The next year, 6 nonviolent gang activity, 1 inappropriate racial comment meriting corporal punishment. 2004-5, 7 inappropriate languages. 1 African-American used the racial pejorative to another African-American student and writes East Side Crips on the board. Now, that's one of the racial incidents that the appellees are relying on to
East
show.
East Side Crips, that's a, I would have thought, an intra-racial.
I would think so, Your Honor. There was 1 inappropriate language, that's the flag and the notebook, and 1 case of harassment and intimidation. 2005-2006, there were 29 incidents, and that is the year of the purses, the flag purses, 25 cases of inappropriate language, that using, you know, gutter language. 3 included inappropriate language involving racial hostility. So 28 instances of inappropriate language, only 3 of which included racial hostility or inappropriate language involving racial pejoratives.
UIL complaining to the principal.
My understanding is that the school turned itself in, and that may be self-serving.
Well, I bet there was something he says in the brief about how at the UIL meeting people complained to him.
Yes, Your Honor. That is in the record.
By people, I mean other participants in the meeting or whatever.
All I would say is that athletic events.
Occur?
Pardon me?
When did that occur?
That would have been probably around that before 2004,
okay.
Probably the year 2002-2003.
So that UIL sanctioned this particular.
I don't think they sanctioned them. I think that they said that there were problems.
Over something like that.
Yeah, they said that there were problems at the school. 3.5 years before the purses.
And warning? So, what would you say? What was it?
Apparently, the reminiscences that were provided, they talk about the taunting athletes, the fight. Again, I don't remember any of those involving a Confederate flag.
Well, this is the Athletic Association.
This is the University Interscholastic League, which in Texas
right.
basically
right.
runs
and,
sports, collective
only,
sports.
Only, I mean, they said something unfavorable toward this school's athletic programs, didn't it? Or their games or the way they were handled.
Racial incidents.
They were remarking, as I understand, about the racial incidents at that time.
Which was?
It would have been the volleyball incident, the basketball incident.
In 2004.